All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the rain that we received today, Father. And just thank you for all your blessings, Lord. I ask that you bless the preaching tonight. I ask, Lord, that you give us a good time tonight, a good week. And we just thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing through us, Lord. And we ask that you even speak to us tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, we'll start reading verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." You know, this, I want to pull out a few things from these verses and just basically mention it, because I think it's something that we need to consider. You know, as I was studying and trying to figure out what I want to say, this phrase kept popping up, and it just blessed me, the grace of God. You know, we're here because of the grace of God. You know, and God's grace is sufficient. Just like he told Paul when Paul, you know, wanted some relief. And God just says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. That is all you need. You know, and when I started looking at this church as an amazing, he's bragging on them. He's exhorting the Corinthians to be like them. You know, and this is incredible to me, because if we're going to do anything worthwhile, if we're going to do anything great, we have to do this, what they did, before we can do anything worthwhile. And I think the key to this and what they did and the way they were able to give even beyond what Paul even hoped for or was thinking about, was the key is in verse 5. And it says that they gave, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. You know, I think that is the key to living a Christian life. That is the key to have victory. That's the key to serve God. You know why lots of times it's hard for us to be faithful? Because we haven't given ourselves to the Lord. You know why lots of times it's hard for us to give, to serve, to witness, to do all these? Because we haven't given ourselves to the Lord. This is very important. There's probably lots of times in our lives where we've acknowledged, where we've looked at ourselves and we said, you know what, I'm messing up. And you can call it rededication, whatever you want to call it. But I think we need to come back to this and say, I need to get some things right and give myself to God. And when we do this, I think we need to listen for what God wants us to do. You know, when I looked at this, it said here, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." He just wants to inform them. He wants to let them know what's going on with the Macedonian churches. And what they did, and it's actually incredible, because we're talking about these Christians who were not rich people. You know, I mean, it says they're not only, you know, were they poor, but it's a deep poverty. But you know, not only that, but and see, this is crazy, because it doesn't really make sense when you read it. You know, I mean, if it wasn't in the Bible, you know, it really doesn't make sense, because he says here in verse 2, they have great trial of affliction, and then it says the abundance of their joy. So they have trials and they have afflictions, they have lots of problems, but yet they are happy. Amen. I mean, is that possible? You know, for you to have troubles and trials and problems and bills coming due and creditors knocking on your door and no rain. And I mean, all this stuff happening. And is it possible for you just to be happy?
Amen.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and I think the key to that is because they gave themselves to the Lord. You know, it's so much easier to live, and it's so much easier to walk with God when you just put everything that you have in God's hands. You just turn it over to Him. You know, we have a mission conference, God's going to take care of it. We have missionaries on the field, God's going to take care of them. Somebody else is going to stand up and say, I want to go. God's going to take care of it.
Amen.
We got to give ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means we have to surrender everything to Him. We have to understand that when we give ourselves to God, what we're telling God to do is, I'm right here. What do you want me to do? He says, deep poverty. These guys were poor. These guys were not only poor, they were poor. Deep poverty. And yet they saw a need. They didn't have much and they gave. They didn't have much and they said, you know what? We can't just overlook this. We can't just look at our problems. God's going to take care of us. They were happy in the Lord. You know, it says here that the result of the trials with their joy, the result was, in verse 2, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look what it says there in verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You know what he's saying right here? He's saying that they were able to give. They were able to do something that they could do in their power. In their power to do, they gave. But not only that, they gave what they couldn't give. You know, and I don't think he's talking about that they gave something they did not have. Because that's kind of silly, right? I mean, you say, okay, I'm going to give to missions $1 million. Well, I don't got $1 million. You know? I mean, that's kind of silly, right? I mean, why would I give something I don't have? I don't think that's what he's saying here. When he says right here in verse 3, to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. I think that they actually had something to give. And then they, for whatever reason, they all got together, they all thought, you know what? I'm going to give more.
Amen.
I'm going to give something that I probably cannot afford to give, but it was something they had. Well, you know, I think this is the same type of attitude and commitment that you and I need to have.
Yeah. Amen.
And the only way we're going to do that, the only way that we can do that is to give ourselves to the Lord. Giving above, beyond their power. And then the crazy thing, I'm telling you, these verses are, I mean, if it wasn't in here, I mean, you know, how can you believe something like this? Paul in verse 4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. You know what he's saying? They're saying, Paul, please take our money. I mean, we have this money and we want to give it to you. We're begging you, please take it. Does that make sense to you? And Paul obviously says, man, you guys are poor. Not only have you given and you're filling the need, but you've given way too much.
Yeah.
And they have to entreat them. They have to pray. They have to say, please just take it. We want to be involved in this.
Amen.
Just an incredible thing. You know, it says here in verse 5. And I'm just pulling these things out. This is my message. It's no introduction. I've just been blessed with these verses. It says in verse 5, and this they did not as we hoped. You know, Paul's not saying that he was hoping they were going to do more than what they did. He said he couldn't believe what they did. Isn't that just an incredible feeling when you expect, when you have an expectation from a child or a friend or somebody, and you desire them to do well, and they exceed your expectations? That's a good feeling. When you think about the work in Mexico and how it has exceeded expectations. When you think about what God can do and is doing in Poland, He can exceed our expectations. Man, Paul was saying, you know what? I was thinking this, and they did so much more. Well, you know, Paul was giving some praises to this church. You know, some acknowledgement to this church. They did something well. He wasn't trying to puff them up or anything. He was explaining to the Corinthians and telling them, look, I want you to look at these churches here as an example. You know, before we can give God our time, before we can give God the days that He asks us to give, the times we meet, Sundays, Wednesdays, conferences, revivals, before we do any of that, we have to give ourselves to the Lord. If you do not do this, you're not going to do it. You're not going to make it. You are not going to be faithful. You are not going to succeed and have, succeed. I think that's the word I'm trying, éxito, right? You're not going to succeed in your Christian walk. To surpass the expectations that you might have for yourself. You know, God wants us to do so much more. But we have to first give of ourselves. You know, and I think, how are we going to do that? How can we do more? Well, look what it says over there in Philippians 3:8. Philippians chapter 3. A familiar verse. It says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen. You know what? You know what the conclusion that Paul came to when he got saved? God comes first. Amen. An incredible thing. Paul gets saved and he immediately starts preaching. No seminary. Yeah. He immediately starts telling people. Amen. He immediately starts working. He immediately starts, Paul had a huge religious, background. I mean, it wasn't like he was ignorant of the word. You know, but what I'm saying is this whole grace thing, this salvation through Jesus Christ, I mean, that was all brand new to Paul. And that is what he was preaching. He wasn't preaching the law anymore. He was preaching grace. Amen. He was preaching salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith.
Amen.
And he did it immediately. Well, you know, I think if we're going to do what we need to do and possibly beyond our power, we have to give ourselves to Christ. You know, life isn't about you anymore. You know, I can say even the gospel isn't about you anymore. If you're saved, I mean, the gospel's glorious. I love to hear the gospel. Preach it to me again. Explain it to me again. Teach it again. I love to hear the gospel.
Amen.
It does not get boring to me.
Amen.
But, you know, the gospel's not about me anymore. There was a time where the gospel was for me, and then I got saved.
Amen.
And now the gospel is for those who are not saved.
Amen.
You know, it's all about Christ.
Amen.
It's not about you anymore. You know, we say the happiest life that you can have, right? To be happy, to really be happy, to really have joy, is to surrender yourself to Christ. Yeah. You know, that's not really true. Because it doesn't matter if you're happy or not. Christ should be first. We shouldn't want to have Christ first in our life to be happy. I mean, these guys had trials. These guys had problems. If we think happy and what we're thinking about happy is having no trials and no problems, I don't see that in the Bible. You know, you get people, you know, sometimes you talk to people or sometimes you listen to something, you know, on the TV and they're talking this prosperity and health and all this stuff, all this other gospel. Well, you know, I think God heals and God blesses and God does so many incredible things. But if you're going to serve God so you can get those things, you must be reading another book. Because, I mean, there was lots of times where Paul said, man, I was naked. I mean, you talk about destitute. God doesn't promise you happiness. You know what He promises us? To be with us till the end. That's what He promises. I think that's why these people were full of joy. Because even though they had affliction, even though they had tribulation in their lives, God was with them. And God's going to see us through it. You know, when I think about this, I think we need to think about putting God first in our lives. I think that's what these verses tell us and God's trying to teach us. Put God first. I'm going to take you to a spot in the Bible, Luke chapter 9. I'll end with this, but I think this is very important, because look what the Lord uses as an example in serving Christ. No one else in this world deserves first place in your life. No one else. You know, this is a great church. I love this church, but this church shouldn't be first in my life. You know, if this church got sidetracked, I'm going to follow Christ. I got a lot of dear people in my life whom I love so much. But I'm going to choose Christ. Amen. Christ should be first. Shouldn't be your wife. It shouldn't be your children. It shouldn't be somebody else in this world. Christ is the only one that should be first in your life. And look what it says in chapter 9, in verse 59. I mean, here Jesus is talking about discipleship. He's talking about serving Him. And it's incredible verses, you know, because they're asking, or they're telling them that they want to follow Him. And Jesus says in 58, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. You know, He wasn't promising them anything. You want to follow Me? I got to be first. Look what it says in 59. And He said unto another, follow Me. But He said, Lord, suffer Me first to go and bury My father. Does that sound like you and I? Me first. Me first, and then I'll do what You want Me to do. You know, it really is a good thing. And I know we think about it. We say, okay, I'm gonna set this money aside, or I'm gonna set this time aside for God, because this is God's. And I think it's good. I think we need to be disciplined. I think what we consider to be God's should be God's, and we shouldn't hinder that. But have you considered that everything is God's? Everything, man. Not only Sundays is God's, but Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's all God's. But we have this mentality, me first. Let me do what I need to do, and then I'll give You whatever's left. Me first. Well, I think we need to change that. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. Look what else says. It says in 60, it says, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Then Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Me first. That should change. Me first should be taken out of our way of thinking, should be taken out of our vocabulary. It should be God first. Outside of salvation during this mission conference, outside, if someone is not saved, you need to put God first and you need to get saved.
Amen.
You need somebody to explain to you why you need to get saved. Yeah. Because if you die without Christ, that's it.
That's right.
But outside of that, during this mission conference, there should be one thing that we need to get settled. What spot does Christ have in our life?
Yeah.
Look, there's no doubt that we love God. There's no doubt. I mean, why else would you be here on a Tuesday night? You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, you have, you know, world-renowned preachers come in here. We're no Billy Graham. You're here because you love Christ.
Amen. That's right.
You are here because you want to hear from God. There might be something God wants you to hear. And God is going to use some weak vessels, Lord willing, to tell you what He wants. But you know, this is what we need to get settled this week. Where is Christ in my life right now? You know, because there's something that dominates you. There's something that's first in your life. If you can say, you know what, Christ is first. I'll drop everything. I'll forget everything. Christ is first. And that's the way it should be. But there might be some folks here that say, you know what, Christ isn't first. I have to admit, there's some things that I choose over Him. There's some things that I'm not willing to do. And you know, and there might be, you just might be, not even know what you want God to do, but you're not willing to say, God, you know what? I'm going to give myself to you, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. You haven't come to that point because you fear that. Well, that's okay. You can fear that, but you got to settle it. You know, is God first in your life? Have you given yourself to Him? You know, the churches of Macedonia experienced the grace of God because they put God first.
Amen.
I want to have the grace of God in my life.
Amen.
I want our church, our churches, to have the grace of God in our lives. But in order for us to do that, we have to forget this idea. It's about us.
Amen.
It's about our happiness.
Yeah.
It's about our needs. It's not about our needs anymore. It's about what Christ wants us to do. Amen?